Hello, everyone. Oh my gosh, it feels like it has been forever since I have done office hours, and I am so glad to see you and to be here and to get rolling tonight. I hope everyone is doing well. Welcome to May, right? Can you believe it's May already, you guys? I can't believe it. So, hello, Dani. If you are a newbie, and this is your very first Zoom call, I will tell you really quick that if you want to be coached tonight, you will raise your hand at the bottom of your screen. Just click raise hand, puts you in a queue for me to call on. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, then use the chat, but make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, you're just talking to me. And if I'm coaching, I'm probably not chatting. So, Debbie, thank you for asking about my jaw. It is better. It is not all the way well. It may be TMJ, may just be part of Kathy's life. I'm not sure, but thank you for asking. It is much better. I'm not running around with a heating pad on my face all the time like I was. So we have some hands raised. So let's go ahead and get started. Jenny Jacobs, you're first. Let's see. Here she comes. Hi there.
Hi.
I can see you and hear you. It's what a great Zoom day, right?
I've been on Zoom all day today.
Have you really? Wow.
Yes.
I have two, actually, to be honest with you. So what's up?
Well, this is my first time. Mm-hmm. I've listened a lot, but I haven't been brave enough to do it yet. But I've listened to a lot of the model calls, and I keep trying to do it. I'm not sure that I have it down completely. I'm still kind of working through all that. But I think the other night, it was just clear as day. I was not hungry, but I wanted to eat. I have this pattern of when it gets to be late and I start feeling lonely and bored, but I don't want to do anything, I want to eat. And I could hear the conversation playing in my head of doing all the positive talk of, no, we're not going to eat because that's not on our plan and we're not really hungry and food solves hunger, not emotions. What emotion are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And then this other side of my brain is just saying, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. No, we're not going to do it anyway. And I mean, it was just like an argument in my head. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out how to override the argument, and the other part won. And I ended up like eating an entire bag of popcorn and I don't even know what else. It was a lot.
Let me ask you this. How long have you been in PMP?
Just, I'm an April baby.
April baby. So before PMP, did you even have the argument in your head?
Yes. I have been working with a life coach. And So the whole CBT thing is new for me. I'm like from an emotionally focused therapy world. So my previous life coach would talk a lot about, you know, what did you learn as a kid and where does that come from? And So we've done a lot of that, and I've identified, you know, a ton of the issues and where things came from. And I've been having, you know, the conversation, you know, I've realized like as a little kid, you know, these were the behaviors. And as a teenager, these were the behaviors. And so I started sort of trying to change the conversations and, you know, not always let that kid or that teenager part of my brain win, but it's strong.
Okay. And so here's what's going on in your head. You have two parts of your brain. Do you know about the two parts, the prefrontal cortex?
Oh yeah. Okay. I'm so you have a development expert. So yeah.
Right. So you've got this real logical, slow moving thinking part of your brain up front. And Corinne calls, so she says business up front, and she says party in the back. That's where the habit brain is, the primal brain, the one that's unconscious, that's running all the time on let's make this process super easy. Why don't we just eat? Right? That's what we think makes us comfortable. Let's just eat. So that's what's shooting those thoughts at you. The prefrontal cortex is shooting all the, yeah, but you really want to lose weight. And you know, you're really not that hungry, and all those logical thoughts at you. And that's why you have this conversation going on. Right? So for all the newbies that don't have all the therapy background, that's really what's going on. And that's what you want to go on. Otherwise, this habit part of your brain in the back, which runs the show about 95% of the time, is going to have you eating like all the time. right?
Yeah, so this is a step forward because I used to just eat and not have the conversation.
Exactly.
But I think it just really blew me away that I was actually able to stop in the moment and have the conversation and not just give into that part. But I still lost.
Okay. But you didn't lose. See, that's the thought. Okay. That's what I want to model here, because this is what's interesting. So you have the C line. Do you know, we'll play with the model for a minute. So the C line is the fact. Okay. It's what we're talking about. The T line is the thought. And your thought is, I still lost. Right?
Yeah.
I still lose. You said, but I still lose. Let's put that in, because that's exactly what you said.
Or I still eat.
So what we're talking about is the C line. And what we're talking about is this conversation that you had in your head. At what time last night?
It was a couple days ago, but it was like
a couple days ago.
10 o'clock at night.
All right. So 10 p.m. conversation in my head. And you described it as basically one part of your brain saying we should eat and the other part of your brain saying no, we shouldn't, right? It's kind of like an open conversation going on.
Yeah.
The thought is, but I still lose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that make you feel?
Defeated.
Defeated.
Like hopeless.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good. We'll put that one down too, just for fun. Hopeless. When you feel defeated, how do you act? What do you do or not do?
I eat.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I don't know. I mean, I go into my head and then I start judging.
Yeah.
I start judging myself.
Oh, that's a good one. Judge. Judge myself. Anything else?
That's probably about it.
Okay. So what do you think the result is?
Well, I didn't stay on plan and I didn't do what I wanted to do.
That's an action line. That's action.
Okay.
Didn't stay on plan.
This is where I'm still struggling to learn fill this out.
The R line is the most important, obviously, but it's also, it takes a minute to really get it. But didn't stay on plan is also an action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you planned, did you plan a 10 p.m. snack?
No.
Okay. So ate off plan. And the other one was what? Didn't do what you say you were going to do?
Yeah.
So you broke your commitment to yourself.
Right.
Okay. Commitment to yourself. Okay. So the result of this is you, I don't want to say you lost, but you, I mean,
basically
did, right? Let's say I perpetuated my thought that I lost. Okay. You proved your thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the reason I say that is what's interesting about this is my pen's going to run out of ink. This thought line here is totally optional. Totally 100% up to you, optional. Right?
Right.
But you believe that I still lose. Oh, maybe you said lost. I don't know. But you believe that.
Yeah.
I still lost.
I do believe it.
Okay.
Because let me ask permitted you this. Part won.
In what ways did you win?
Did I win or did that permitted part win?
No. In what ways did you win?
I mean, I recognized that it was happening.
Okay. Recognized it was happening. What else?
I don't know. I guess it's more of an advanced step than I was at in January.
Step forward. Anything else?
No, all I can think about is that it's still won. Like that old part still won.
Ultimately, the very finite end result was, yes, you ate.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of progress as a continuum, where you started here with no thoughts, and you ended here with no eating, you're not giving yourself any, any, what's the word I want?
Grace.
Right? Grace is a good one. You're not showing yourself any progress. You're not allowing yourself any progress. Do you think join PMP, I'll never eat at night again.
Right? That would have been nice.
Right? Yeah, well, yes. I mean, she could probably charge a lot more. Right?
Yeah.
But on this, I don't know if you can see the continuum or not, but on this continuum of no thoughts over here to no eating, you know, when I say no thoughts, I mean, not that there weren't thoughts, but that you didn't have the opposite. You didn't have the conversation. Maybe is a better way to say that. No conversation. Right?
Yeah.
Now you're having the conversation and you're thinking about it. And you're, the other thing I would offer you up here as a success is that you got on here to talk about it tonight. First call. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you, in order to have action line of first call, it's, you had to have a thought of, I really want to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's my first call. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm ready for this. I want to figure this out. So what I want you to see is this thought I still lose is optional. You didn't necessarily lose if you think about where you are on this continuum here. You just have to get back to work next time. You know, you could have urges to eat at 10 p.m. from now for the next 30 days. The success is not just not eating. Success is the progress you make along the way. It's like saying I have 100 pounds to lose and I don't win until I lose all 100 pounds.
Right.
Right?
I think I get stuck in that all or nothing thinking all the time.
Exactly. You get stuck in this model. You get stuck in this, we would call this the unintentional or automatic or whatever word you want to give it model. The one that's just playing on repeat for you, but I still lost. I might as well eat. I still lost. And that's what that becomes a cycle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you tell yourself, this is why you do a discovery worksheet, by the way, because you can go back and you can look at it and you can say, you know what did I learn about that? I ate anyway. Okay, done. That's done. I get to decide. That's done. What did I learn? What did I see? What progress did I see? What can I try next time? Right? To move yourself down this continuum from no conversation down to no eating.
It's hard work.
You know, that's another thought, but it's worth it, right?
It's worth the work. How do I move past the whole conversation to where I get to the point where my rational brain comes out on top and can overpower the primitive brain?
Let me ask you, did you have any, like between this morning and right now, did you have any thoughts? I should have a snack.
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat every time?
Mm-hmm.
Not one time did you think I should have a snack and wait 10 minutes.
I've gotten really good at listening to hunger signals most of the time. I don't struggle at all with eating until 8 to 11 o'clock.
Did you ever? Did you ever struggle at all with eating outside of 8 to 11 o'clock?
Not a lot.
Tell you, I did. 3 o'clock. You could set a clock by my stomach. I knew it was 3 o'clock. I don't know why.
My daughter jokes that if I say like, oh man, I went off plan and I ate last night, she's like, do you stay up too late? Yep.
Oh, like, so there are times always that you don't eat at night.
Yeah. Last night I did really good with not eating, but it was easy last night. I don't know. Last night was really easy. I just said, I wanted to eat, and I just said, I'm not eating, I'm not hungry, food solves hunger, mm-hmm. and the conversation went away, and it was fine. But
it's just, you just told me you never have success between 8 and 11 o'clock.
Not ever, a lot. Uh-huh. It's a pattern.
See, but that's a pattern. This is what I want you to see, is that last night you didn't eat between 8 and 11 o'clock. You allowed the mm-hmm. urge to be there, I guess.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a success as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I put that down in my journal. I got that.
So it was let's work that model. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got another 10 PM conversation in our head, right? Or so, you know, 8, 10 PM, whatever it is. Same C line.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the thought?
I want something to eat.
Oh no, the other one. I'm not hungry.
Yeah, I'm not hungry.
I'm not. That's the one that won, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling?
It was almost annoyance, honestly. I was annoyed at that part of my brain that was wanting to eat when I knew I was just feeling lonely.
All right. So that might be the key right there. If you get annoyed every time you have an urge to eat, that's a sign of that's a sign of resistance. I don't want to have that urge.
I don't.
Right? Well, guess what? Yeah. You're going to have urges to eat at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
This is a classic difference between being annoyed and resisting an urge and being understanding that your body is going to throw you an urge at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain is going to, you've been rewarding your brain at 10 o'clock at night for giving you the urge all this time. What makes you think that at 10 o'clock at night, it's not going to go, hey, I'm ready for a cookie. This is what we do.
Because it's my friend when I get lonely.
Oh, that's probably not a great thought.
I mean, I think that's because it's, I mean, I've been trying to do a lot of thought downloads and journaling about and trying to find the patterns and it's hard to even identify the feeling that I'm feeling because it's almost like I just feel numb. I don't know that I'm feeling much of anything, but it's always like that time when, you know, like I'm single, adult kids, my 24-year-old lives here, but he's like in the back room. Mm-hmm. And it's when I'm like, everyone else has their families and they're doing, you know, watching TV together or doing something together. And I don't want to work and I don't want to, you know, what do I do? So I eat. And I think that's why I don't ever struggle with anything during the day because I'm occupied with work.
Yeah. That's exactly why.
And things like that. But at night I'm like, now what? What do I do? Like, there's no one here. It's just me. And it's when I like go into my bedroom and I'm all alone and I turn the TV on or I'm trying to read. And then I just want to reach for that companion.
Well, as long as you continue to call it your companion and as long as you continue to tell you that this is how you, you know, this is your friend at night, it keeps you from being lonely. Guess what? Your brain is going to continue to give you those thoughts. It's going to make those urges seem really strong. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a tool I will give you to try. I want you to visualize having those urges and having those thoughts and telling yourself, you know what, this is really not my friend. I'm working on believing that this is not, you know, what I do at night anymore. This is not how I treat my body. I'm working on creating a new story around this 10 o'clock eating. Around my loneliness. Okay. Visualization is practice ahead of time, right? Your brain doesn't know the difference between what you visualize and what you actually do.
So right.
The more you visualize, the more you will get used to this kind of pattern of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's one thing. I want you to remember your progress. Okay. I want you to remember those times. I want you to journal about those times when you successfully don't eat at night. Okay. But I want you to also understand, and this is what's really key. Are you working the self-sabotage course by any chance?
Yes.
So
and that's kind of what prompted all of it was.
Yes.
It just hit really hard. I've been waiting all week since that happened. I'm like, I'm joining the model, the coaching call.
Yes. Well, have you done the worksheet on the stories yet?
That's the very first part, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did all of those and that was amazing.
Well, if you can make the call tomorrow night, Corinne is going to go over that worksheet and she's going to talk about what I loved about that worksheet for me is that all the stories that I have around food. My big one was my parents always tried to make us feel better with food. My mother baked like nobody's business. When I didn't make the cheerleading squad, she took me for ice cream, you know, all those things. It was always, here, honey, have a cookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like 125 pounds my whole life. She didn't eat the stuff. She just fed it to us.
Yeah.
But that was her, how she loved us, right? She loved us with baked goods. I know that now. I understand that now. And after taking that course, I was able to say, now I understand why I like baked goods so much. Now I understand when I want to feel better, I want to go down to the bakery and get a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
That brought me some relief, some peace to know that I don't have to be that person anymore. I don't have to use that thought anymore. I have other thoughts available to me. I can create a new story. I can create new thoughts.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much trauma around food I've had until I did those stories. And I started realizing that my dad was always making me eat and my mom was always telling me to stop eating so much if I did eat. And so there was this constant tug of war and my dad was just like super cruel and I can remember one time throwing up in my food and having to eat it anyway. So there's just like a ton of trauma around food. And I didn't ever realize that was like how opposite messages. And it started making sense why I developed eating disorders and all of that stuff growing up. It was really interesting.
So what you need to do is you need to take that worksheet and you need to do one more story. You need to do your 10 o'clock eating story.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would totally have that done by tomorrow night's call and come back to the call. Now, I don't know what her plans are as far as coaching and whatnot. I can't imagine that she won't, but you never know. but I would totally write your 10 p.m. story around eating.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Give yourself the grace of recognizing your progress. Don't be so all or nothing. It's all about the progress.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, 80 pounds and 5 years later, I don't have 10 o'clock at night urges, but I have 3 o'clock in the afternoon urges for sure. And I probably always will. They just don't seem as insistent because I don't reward them anymore.
Yeah. Okay. This has been really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye. All right. Nicole, you are next. Are you coming?
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you yet.
Oh, start video. Here we go.
You got it. There you are. Hi.
Okay. Hello.
How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. What's going on?
Good. So I am working through the relationship workshop. I missed it when it was happening, so I'm working through it now.
Have you gotten to my coaching yet?
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah. I got coached. But anyway. Oh,
yes, I do. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sorry. So that I could, yeah.
In fact, I know this is,
you seemed a little caught off guard.
Yeah, I was definitely caught off guard. And then I had to laugh because she talks about, thoughts and stuff in the self-sabotage course. And she talks about, if you're angry because your kid wears the same pants all the time. And I was like, what? Anyway,
she pulled it right out of your brain.
Yeah. I was like, okay. Yeah. So, what's up? What are you working on?
So, yes. So the person that I'm doing, the person I picked to do the workshop on is my sister-in-law.
Okay.
And there's a lot, there's years worth of history there at this point. And I've gotten pretty far at working through it. Mm-hmm. And I'm to the point where the relationship course has helped me solidify, like when I went through the love languages mm-hmm. and it had me write down like what hers are and mm-hmm. then the ways that she's loving me. And it made me realize that I don't think she does love me because I didn't have anything to put in that section. And I went back 18 months.
Okay.
And I couldn't put anything in that section. And I know Corinne has talked about, you know, there are some relationships that you end up just kind of leaving. Mm-hmm. And I think if she were a friend, I would be able to do that. But because she's my sister-in-law, I know I'm still going to have to interact with her. I'm still going to have to see her. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of me picking her for this course was because there's just so much like anger and hurt built up in me that I knew I needed to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just and hurt.
Well, so when my husband and I first got married, we lived in the same town as her. And we spent a year and a half of me thinking we were great friends. I saw her once a week, we'd get coffee, we'd talk. And after a year and a half, she said to me, and she literally said it, this wasn't my projection, that she hadn't wanted that level of friendship, that she felt like I had pressured her that entire time.
Okay.
And that I'm a pushy person and she didn't okay. want to continue with that.
Okay.
And it just totally caught me off guard because no one else has ever said anything like that to me. That's not how I see myself.
Well, which is the painful one? That she didn't want that level of friendship, or that she saw you as pushy, or that she said you were pushy?
Honestly, I think the most painful part was that I felt like because it had been going on for a year and a half, that she had kind of let me like dig my own grave in her eyes, kind of. Because nothing was brought up sooner, there was no chance to develop a relationship that was healthy for both of us. And then at the end of a year and a half, she was basically saying, this isn't healthy, I'm done. Instead of, let's bring something up to discuss and try to be healthy moving forward.
Okay. What's wrong with any of that?
Well, it just is hurtful to me.
Why? Why is it hurtful?
Because I want to be someone that gets along at least cordially with my family.
And you don't think you'll get along cordially with her without going for coffee and seeing her, you know, periodically?
Well, and I guess this is why I'm here. I mean, maybe that is what it will look like on her side, but I'm so angry that I don't feel like I can interact with her cordially, I guess.
And why are you angry? I know we keep coming back to this, but is it because she let me dig my own grave, or is it another reason? Why are you really angry and hurt?
Well, I guess I'm angry that I don't get to be her friend.
That's probably it. What do you make that mean, that you don't get to be her friend? What does that really mean?
You mean like, what does it mean to me, or what am I mm-hmm. missing about it?
No, what does it mean to you? Does it mean she doesn't like me? She should like me.
Yeah.
I'm probably. Sad that she doesn't like me.
Yeah, I did a model on it, and I did kind of uncover that I think maybe I was deriving a little bit of value from being her friend and from being someone that got along with her in-laws. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know it's such a stereotypical problem to have. And when I got married, I was like, that's not going to be me. Like, I'm going to have a great relationship with my in-laws.
But you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I do with the rest of my husband's family.
Well, I want to come back to this, but if it's, she doesn't like me, or I can't have a relationship with my in-law and you're hurt or angry, what are you doing or not doing?
I don't know. I get angry every time I, like, we have like a family group text with that whole side mm-hmm. of the family. Mm-hmm. And every time I see her name pop up on my phone, I just feel angry.
Why? Are you judging her?
What?
Judging her? She'll talk to them, but she won't talk to me.
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Judge. I'm guessing you overthink this a little bit.
Yep.
You beat yourself up?
Probably.
I should be more likable, kind of thing.
I think maybe more that I should have figured it out sooner. Like, I should have figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, she doesn't like it. Me. So when you're judging someone else and you're overthinking and you're giving yourself the beat down, is that how you want to treat yourself?
No.
No. So you're not liking yourself a lot. I can't even write tonight. I don't like myself. This is how this model plays out for you. Okay. I know it's about the sister-in-law, but it always comes back to how you treat yourself.
Yeah.
And how you are showing up in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. So for everybody who didn't go to relationships class, this is what a relationship looks like. You have, tell me your sister-in-law's name.
Kat.
Kat with a K or a C?
C.
You have Kat here. And you have Nicole here. And this pen is not working either. Hang on. I've got a good one here somewhere. All right. Kat has a thought bubble. Oh, this is a good one. And Nicole has a thought bubble. The relationship is between the thoughts. So if Nicole shows up, did I spell your name right? Does that have an H? Okay.
Yep.
If Nicole shows up at Christmas with Kat and says, hey, I've missed you. It's good to see you. It's all about you and how you showed up. If you want to tell her that, if you want to be that person, you get to be. If you see Kat at Christmas and you walk up to her and say, I really thought we had something. I'm going to be, you know, kind of angry about it and angry with you. You get to decide that too. It's all based on how you think. It has nothing to do with how she reacts. Okay. I have a brother-in-law who drives me crazy. I mean, seriously, I try and I just work on loving him as hard as I can. But sometimes that phone rings and I know it's him and I know my husband's going to be on the phone for an hour helping him fix his iPhone over the phone or whatever it is that he calls because he's like 74 or something with new technology. It's not a good combination.
Yeah.
And I think, but every time he walks in this house, he gives me a hug and he tells me how nice it is to see me. And I think to myself, how am I showing up for him? How am I showing up for the relationship with him? Right? Mm-hmm. Even though he makes me nuts, I can still love him. I can still choose to love him. He doesn't know if he makes me nuts or not. He chooses to love me anyway. Mm-hmm. He chooses to care about me anyway. He shows up just as authentic as he's going to be. That's how you know the relationship is created in your mind. Okay. I can think this could be me and Corinne. And this, we said this in the workshop. Mm-hmm. I could think Corinne is my best friend in the whole world. The only person I can talk to. Corinne could like me, but her best friend is Jane. And she tells Jane everything. She might tell me something every now and then, but Jane is inside Corinne's head. It doesn't matter. I don't lose because Corinne has Jane. Mm-hmm. I can still think she's my best friend. Mm-hmm. So for you, you can still love Kat. You can tolerate Kat. You can be annoyed with her. You can be angry with her. You get to decide. You don't have to mend the relationship. You just have to decide how you like showing up for the relationship. If you want to be hurt and angry and that suits you, go for it. Right?
Right.
Do you like being hurt and angry in a relationship?
No.
No. So that's where your rub is. So love languages for her, she has one. She just may not show it to you. And that's okay. That's her choice. That's in her thought bubble. you don't know what's going on in her mind. She could have some crazy, she took my brother away from me thought going on or something. If you look at it from her perspective. Have you gotten to that part yet? The another perspective part yet?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes dropping into their model, dropping into their head just a little bit, helps you to understand them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But the most important concept is understanding that you have to be okay with how you show up in that relationship and not worry about, not pay so much attention to how she shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you can't control how she shows up. That's all about her in that thought bubble.
So what am I supposed to be thinking in the moment? Like, I mean, I know I can do thought models on it now, but... Well, That's just all I can do is do thought models on it now. And
yeah. So let's just project into the future. I don't do very many future thought models. This might be fun. We have a sea line where you see cat at Christmas. Okay. How do you want to feel when you see her? And be realistic. Don't be, I just love her to pieces. Be realistic. How do you want to feel when you see her?
Neutral? Is that a feeling?
How about calm?
Calm. There
Will
we go.
Calm work?
Okay. Yeah.
And what do you think you have to think? Why would you want to be calm? Let's ask that. Why would you want to be calm when you saw her?
So that I can show up the way I want to and not let feelings take over, negative feelings.
So maybe I want to show up. Give me one word about how you want to show up. Not, instead of like I want to, what does that mean?
I want to show up, I don't know, loving with boundaries. Show up.
It's not going well, is it?
I don't know. How about
I don't want to be mad at Christmas?
Okay.
Okay. So you want to show up, basically, you want to show up with the Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mad at Christmas. Does that calm you down or give you a little peace or anything?
A little bit.
You want to go back to neutral? Neutral. And when you feel neutral, you might engage her and you might not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's pretty much the world is your oyster when you feel neutral. You get to decide not from an emotional standpoint, but more from a, you know, how do I want to act? If I leave here tonight feeling good about how I interacted with Kat, you know, what did I do or not do? Maybe it's stay in the other room.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, hi, how are you? How's your mom? See you. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, maybe just like, you know, respond normally if she initiates something, but really just focus on my other in-laws that I also don't get to see very often.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because if you are so focused on being angry with her, you're not going to show up in the other relationships either. Mm-hmm. You're putting all your energy, all your negative energy into that one relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
I think for you, I would go back and work the shoulds again with Kat.
Okay.
Kat in mind. What should she be doing? And what should you be doing? And think about whether or not you have a list of shoulds for her that just aren't reasonable. If she doesn't want to hang out with you, she gets to decide that. But then you get to decide how you think about it.
Yeah, I tried to be realistic when I was doing that worksheet and writing out like all the things that like I, you know, I would love that she should do, mm-hmm. that are not realistic. And then I forget where I got with it. Oh, yeah. And then I just wrote, like, I want to be able to drop my shoulds and move forward. I'm open to moving forward. And I don't need her validation to move forward. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, I guess I could work on that part again.
What does I don't want her validation? I don't need her validation to move forward mean? Where are you moving? What's moving forward?
Well, I guess just moving forward into whatever type of relationship we're actually going to have versus the relationship that I wish we had. Right.
Remember, you can put whatever kind of relationship in your thought bubble you want.
Yeah.
You just can't ask her to reciprocate. Right. You can't, you know, she can be your best friend if you want her to be. You just can't expect her to reciprocate, and vice versa. You can put distance and say, you've hurt me once, girl, I'm out. And she could be like, Nicole, we should have coffee. Right? It can work the other way too.
Right.
Not like me and the brother-in-law. I love him. He makes me crazy sometimes. Remember, you define the relationship. Okay?
Okay. That's good.
All right. Work on it some more and come back Monday if you want. I'd be interested to hear from you. Monday, we actually have a relationships call. I'm doing a relationship.
Oh, okay. That would make
Monday the 11th at 5 p.m., everybody.
Okay. I think I am off Monday.
Just on relationships. So do some more work on it and come back
good,
if you want.
Good homework. Okay.
Okay?
Thanks.
All right. See ya. Sarah, you're next. Sarah Greer. I think you are coming. Are you there?
You disappear for a second. You scared me. Hold on.
Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hi. I'm nervous.
Why?
Because I'm an April baby who was a groupie for a few months and like has lost weight elsewhere, and I'm dealing with the mental stuff. And this is my first video chat.
Well, welcome. You started just the way I did. Well, I didn't have the podcast when I started, but lost weight, oh, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 10 times in my life. It didn't stick till I found Corinne. So there you go.
Oh, there, that's better. I'm sorry. I had chat screen over my thing.
What can I help you with?
Thank you for calling on me, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Well, I hit 199.2 this morning.
Congratulations.
And thank you. I've been stuck at 200 to 203 for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big deal. But what tends to happen with me is when I hit this or 196, so 199 and 196 mm-hmm. for some, it all falls flipping apart. And I'm very anxious about this. And I did a TDL. I journaled it and did my model, and I knew you were coming on, and I thought I am going to reach out because I know I need help with this.
Okay.
Because I haven't been able to figure this out for years.
Let's look at your model. Tell me what your model says.
Scale reads 199.2.
Okay.
That's a fact.
That's a good one.
Do you want my unintentional thought? Because it's a cuss word.
That's okay. Hit me. I don't have to say it. That's it?
Yep. That's it.
Tell me the feeling.
The feeling is sadness.
Sadness. Why do you feel sad about 199.2?
Because I know it's not going to last.
That's the thought. I know this won't last. No.
Okay.
Did you see how I did that? A lot of times it's easy to find the feeling. And if you don't really know what the thought is, you ask yourself, why do I feel sad? Boom, there's a thought. I know this won't last. Okay.
Okay.
So when you feel sad, what do you do or don't do?
I judge myself. Mm-hmm. I stop things that work. I give up. I forget about what I've achieved. And I write a TDL. That actually is something I do almost every time I catch myself with this kind of a thought.
That's going to come from a different model.
Okay.
So we're going to put this over here, TDL. We're going to put it in the corner, and we're going to talk about that one in a minute. So you judge yourself, you stop, you give up, you forget. Do you eat, drink, overeat, go off plan, any of that, that stuff?
Yep. Today, I just decided I didn't want what I planned for breakfast, and I had an omelet instead, and it was a pretty level fair trade, actually, a smoothie, had an omelet instead, mm-hmm. and then decided I didn't want to eat my lunch, so I haven't followed my plan at all today.
Yeah, so you're off plan. Mm-hmm. And the result here is?
A stall or a weight gain.
Yeah, it doesn't last. Weight loss doesn't last. Right? All because you have this thought and you choose to believe that thought is true. That is the whole reason why you stall at 196 to 199.
Okay.
Because you hit that number on the scale, your brain automatically mm-hmm. says, this isn't going to last. And we just did the model that proves that true.
Yep.
Because when you have that thought, when that thought comes in and you feel sad, you go off plan, you judge yourself, you do all the things, you pretty much convince yourself that the result, the weight loss won't last. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right.
So how do I change this?
You pull the BS light on this thought. How much weight have you lost?
55 pounds, if I count this one.
Okay, 55 pounds. So you know how to lose weight?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
I do.
You know how mm-hmm. to, when you go off plan, you know how to get back on plan. Because I can't believe you had no off plan eats in 55 pounds. Is that true?
No, I had a lot of off plan eats.
Right. You probably had a few overeats too.
Progress. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
And I've made progress.
But you hit that number on the scale. And you employ this thought, and you tell yourself this thought's true 100%. When you could say, there's that thought. I've lost 55 pounds. I know how to do this. Why am I paying attention to this thought? Of all the thoughts I could choose, I have 60,000 a day, for heaven's sake. I'm choosing to believe this one.
I wrote down, I hit a milestone onward. So that's just unicorns and rainbows, right?
I don't know. Does it sound believable? I hit a milestone onward. Does that feel believable to you?
Sort of. Mm-hmm. Sort of believable. Not 100% though.
Okay. What about something like, I've got 199.2. Let's see what I can, let's plan tomorrow and stay on plan tomorrow. What if you take, sometimes the way to get through a place like this in your mind is baby steps, small little steps. And I'll never
forget. I'm having a lot.
Huh?
What? I'm having a lot of trouble with baby steps. Baby what? Steps are a lot of trouble. I want it all.
Well, I am taking, right?
yes, exactly. You know, and I think I my expectations exceed my abilities. That's not quite right.
That's probably not a great thought either. My expectations exceed my abilities. You could say absolutely. Mm-hmm. My expectations are met by my abilities, right? Because you've gotten here, right?
Yeah. Right.
I'll never forget Mary Jo talking about quitting smoking. Okay. She said she got up one day and she decided she didn't need to smoke anymore. You know, she'd been thinking about it. I need, just like we all do when it's time. Okay. It's time to lose weight. I'm joining, you know, Corinne's group. I'm joining Weight Watchers, whatever. We have that moment where we decide I've got to make a change. Mary Jo decided she needed to quit smoking. But she knew if she thought, I'll never have another cigarette, she'd never make it. So she would get up every day and she would say, I'm not having a cigarette today. And then she wouldn't have a cigarette that day. And she'd get up the next day and she'd say, I'm not having a cigarette today. And that's the baby steps. And for you, as you work through this 196 to 199, I would suggest that you get up every day and you say, I know that this thought's in there, but today it doesn't get to be true. Today I'm following my plan. And then you follow your plan, or you don't. Do your discovery worksheet, and you get up the next day and you say, I know this thought's in there, but today it doesn't get to be true. Because I know how to follow my plan. I've lost 55 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And then in 3 weeks, when I'm on office hours again, you're going to come back and you're going to go, well, Kathy, I'm down to 195 now. Look, I don't know what happened. But those baby steps,
oh my gosh, it's going to help.
Work.
Okay.
That's really the whole crux of it, is that you've decided that this thought has relevance. And you let it play out to the end of the model. You need to just recognize this thought, just see it when it comes in and say, you know what? There's that thought. I don't want it to play out in my model. Because I know how to do this, for heaven's sake. I've lost 55 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just have that conversation and do it one day at a time. And you will work through this range of yours.
Thank you.
Does that help?
And I will be back.
Thanks. All right.
I'll be back.
I look forward to it. All right. See ya. G. Duffy. Uh-oh. Something's crazy going on. Here you come. Oh, I hear you.
Do I hit start video?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Start video.
I act like I've never done this before.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I told you 3 weeks ago that I'd get back on here and update you.
All right.
So 3 weeks ago, I hopped on here and I joined last April and had some success in the beginning and then kind of gave up, not really gave up, but stopped planning.
Mm-hmm.
I hopped on here and decided to put in some more work. And I just wanted to get on here and give you an update on how things are going.
Okay.
So ever since you and I spoke about 3 weeks ago, I planned and assessed every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm communicating with my accountability partner daily.
Mm-hmm.
The week after you and I spoke, I coached with Miss Betsy on night eating. So after I started planning and assessing, I just noticed that around 8 p.m. and thereafter, I would just do these binge eating. I would binge eat every single evening. And so I hopped on to talk with her and we discussed the internal dialogue that I was having with myself throughout the day. And I think that I was upset because I practiced a different internal dialogue for like one day and was upset that it didn't all just change.
Oh, should I write my continuum up on the board again?
Right. And we also discovered that I, in the evenings, I use food to comfort me. So I've done a lot of work on how to solve my night eating. Betsy really encouraged me to give things more time and recognize even the small improvements.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I think that I was just wanting things to happen overnight.
Yeah.
And since I journaled and tried to come up with some, she suggested, you know, that I not watch TV at night, because that's generally when I would have the night, the binge eat, is when I'm watching TV, but I didn't want to cut TV out because I didn't think that was something that I could do for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I'm only hopping on here to share this because I'm hoping that it will help any other of the ladies in the tribe that maybe struggle with the same thing, because I found something that I feel like has worked for me. And I'm actually using it right now. So this is Therapy Buddy. So when I'm watching TV, well, all right, let me go here. So I was using food to comfort me. So I journaled on that and I made a long list on my phone about food can only solve hunger. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to solve comfort. So I made a list of what is comforting. What are things that can comfort me? Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, yoga comforts me, but I can't do yoga while I'm watching TV. I mean, you could, but I don't want to. Music is comforting. Taking care of myself, like putting on lotion or lighting a candle, meditation, my internal dialogue that I have with myself, all of these things can comfort. Mm-hmm. So I made a list of things that could be comforting, and then I tried to customize those to what could be useful while I'm watching TV. So I ordered myself a weighted blanket off of Amazon. I just find it very comforting. I'm, you know, sitting there watching TV. I've got this heavy blanket on me. And let me let you know, if you've got a heavy blanket on you, you're going to think twice about getting up to go to the refrigerator, trying to get out from underneath that thing. And then I have the therapy putty on my side table. Mm-hmm. And so it gives me something to do with my hands while I'm watching TV.
All right. So there's one thing I want to say here, and I think this is super important for everybody to hear. Your name is Gina, right?
Gina.
Yeah. Huh?
Gina.
Gina. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So Gina has a weighted blanket. She has therapy putty, and she has a list of all the things, right, that you want to use that provide comfort. So you are comfortable when you are using these things. Mm-hmm. There's a thought in here. You have a thought about each of these things that creates comfort.
Right.
Okay. So what's the thought? Why are you comforted? Yeah.
This is so powerful, Kathy.
Why are you comforted? Because of your weighted blanket, your therapy putty, and the other things in your list.
I would have to take it item by item.
Okay.
So
what is it about the weighted blanket?
It's the heaviness. That's weird, but I don't know. That one's...
See, there's a thought in there. It doesn't... Weighted blankets don't give everybody comfort. They make me hot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it feels good for a minute, and then I'm like sweating because I'm in menopause. Okay, so Gina says it traps her. Okay. You have a thought about it. It's probably, this feels good.
All right.
It could be as simple as, this feels good. Okay? And you could apply that probably to the therapy putty because you like squeezing it in your hands. Just kind of gives you something to do, feels good, whatever it is. It could be... The thought is, this gives me something to do. Could be somebody says, this is my sensory input. There's a thought there that provides comfort, and your action line is not eat.
Right.
Not comfort seek. Okay. And the result.
Well, part of it is being good to myself, because I know that if I'm eating, that is self-harm. If you're eating when you're not hungry, that is self-harm. And I feel like by replacing it with the weighted blanket and this and the therapy putty, I'm choosing to do something different that is, you know, not harmful to myself.
What if that's the thought? I'm choosing something different. Choosing something different.
Right.
Maybe that's the thought. Something other than food right now. I'm choosing something other than food right now that brings you comfort. So you don't eat. You don't comfort seek. You acknowledge that you're caring for yourself. And all that results in new ways to feel good.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I just don't want anyone out there thinking therapy putty is going to solve all their problems.
Right.
Because it's your thought about therapy putty. It might be the most amazing stuff in the world, but you have a thought about it. Your brain says, I like this.
And I think it was also
that's what causes comfort.
I think it was also the effort of, you know, trying things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's more. That's
really key here, is that you, for the past 21 days, you've shown up for yourself. Mm-hmm. You've done your plan. You've gotten coached. You've looked for patterns. You've looked for ways. You've looked for things to replace food in the evenings. Mm-hmm. You've shown, basically, you've had your own back for the past 3 weeks, and that feels pretty darn good, doesn't it?
It does. I haven't lost any weight, but I feel like when I get on the scale this Friday, I'll start to see things shift. Mm-hmm. So what else?
Well, your whole demeanor is different this time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
I think I wish I had written down. I wish when you and I had, well, I guess I can go back to the call and re-listen to it, because I know the date that it was. But I think you and I talked about at the time about how, like, I was wanting to do all the things at one time. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was not being realistic. It was kind of, I didn't realize it at the time, but I thought, let me get through the workbook really quickly, and then that will mean that I will lose weight.
Right?
Yeah.
You keep forgetting that thought line.
So, but that wasn't the thought. It's just, that's what I was doing, was right. Like, the more material I ingest, then that means that I will lose weight. Mm-hmm. It's not the material that you're ingesting. It's, you know, how are you interpreting it, and how are you using it, and how are you putting it into action?
Yeah.
So I find myself being a lot, like, now that I'm back in here and showing up for myself every single day, I find myself going through things a lot slower and just, you know, seeing the small victories and being okay with not losing weight for 3 weeks if it means that I'll eventually lose weight on Friday and never have to lose it again.
Yeah. Small victories are so important. And I can tell you, working with the one-on-one clients that I work with, the people that buy the private coaching, the ones that I see the most success in are the ones that know the model, the ones that really nail their thought line and figure out what thoughts it is that create the action lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, so, so important to really see how you're thinking and to see the power in what you're thinking and how you can direct your thinking.
Right.
So important. And that's essentially what you did here. You decided, I'm going to figure out a way not to eat at night. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to try some things. Right.
And this is just the first thing that I decided to tackle. I think there's a lot of things that I am going to work on, but I looked at the big picture and said, okay, what is the biggest issue that I have right now that if I were to just tackle it head on, knock it out of the way, and then we'll go to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the big picture of my plans every day and my assessments, you could see this pattern of every evening, some kind of binge eat. And I'm like, well, let's tackle that. And then when we, you know, become really good at that, then we'll look at the other things.
Perfect. Perfect. One step at a time, just like I was telling, Sarah.
Let's see. So I was talking about how our last conversation, I was wanting to do all the things all at one time. That thought came up for me yesterday. So I started the new bonus course, the self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm checking in with my accountability partner every day. I'm planning every day, assessing every day, setting small goals for myself. And then all of a sudden this thought came in and it was like, I don't know if I can keep up with all of this. And it's when you and I were talking last time, that is one of the thoughts that crept in that made me decide to stop showing up for myself every day because that thought overwhelms me. I feel mm-hmm. overwhelmed. And then you just feel like, you know, it's too much. Mm-hmm. You're never going to figure this out. And then you just, your results are, you just stop.
Right.
You
know? Right. Inaction is in the, when you have overwhelm in your feelings line, doing nothing is in your action line.
Yeah. So, I was so happy to be able to catch that thought when it came in, and I got a sticky note out in that moment and I wrote it down and I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to Kathy about that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I was just really proud of myself for hearing it mm-hmm. and writing it down and being like, that's why you quit a little bit ago, was because this one little sneaky thought. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, do you work outside the house? You ever mm-hmm. have the thought, I don't know if I can keep up with all this stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You quit your job?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? What do? You hear the thought and you go, okay, that's baloney. What's one thing I can knock out right now? Right? Yeah. Same thing.
Well, what comforted me in that moment, because I felt overwhelmed, I was like, you know, just think about today. Don't think about all the little things. Go back to the four basics and that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Have you had your order today? Yeah. Your plan's already made. You're on it. And if you're not, then just next best decision. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, it's just the four basics. That's it. This mm-hmm. is so easy. Stop thinking about the self-sabotage course and your accountability partner and this and this and this. The four basics. Yep. And that just calmed me down.
Yep. Good work. Good work. I'm glad you came back and checked in.
Yeah. I'll probably keep checking in because it helps me.
Good. Good deal. Good deal. Got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Take care. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
See ya. Bye. Teresa, you're next.
Let me do the video. Okay. Here I am. Oops.
Got it.
There I am. Hi.
Oh, I can see the top of your, there you are.
There you go. Yeah. Two glasses on my head because I can never find my glasses.
You should teach Corinne tonight, that trick. How many times have you seen Corinne on a call go, Chris, will you find my glasses?
No, it's terrible. And then I have to shout out for these best sunglasses. They're called Maui Jims. And mm-hmm. I put them on my face and I always forget they're on there because they're so comfortable.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, today I'm calling about, so I have been a member for a year mm-hmm. and a lot of my habits have changed, which is mm-hmm. fabulous. Mm-hmm. And I've lost about 18 pounds. Mm-hmm. And then, well, I lost like 24, ready to go into Queen's Club. And then it was November and December and I just didn't pay attention to anything and okay. much at all. And I could see, and I was thinking, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I can eat and not gain this weight back. And then all of a sudden 8 mm-hmm. pounds came back. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've kind of recommitted to this in May. So I've learned to really not overeat so much. I've tried to learn to control how much alcohol I drink, but that's my biggest bugaboo is, oh, I'm done so well with my food today. And I did a little exercise and you know, I deserve a glass of wine. And then I have pour a big glass of wine. And then I think, oh, my brain, I can hear my brain talking to me. And it says, oh, I want a little bit more. What's it going to hurt? And I try. Mm-hmm. And I do discovery worksheets. And I've even done the Kathy or the Rachel Hart, take a break. Uh-huh. You know, I did that mm-hmm. In September because I felt that was the problem with my weight loss is the wine that I drink and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So anyway, I just didn't know because it's not so much food. Like even last night we had enchiladas for dinner because it was Cinco de Mayo. I cut my enchilada down. I had my portions. It was really great. Then I thought, oh, I think I want a glass of red wine after dinner.
Okay.
So
why do you deserve a glass of wine?
Oh, I know. It's because I just think it's the Corona and my husband's around too much and he kind of booked, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm just sitting there going, oh, you know, I deserve this.
So you're justified.
Totally justified.
Justified.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done really good on my food because I used to not do near as well on my food. I really did have some problems with binging, and that is much better for me, which is thankful to a lot of the programs that PNP. But then I'm like, okay, but it was the same thing as I might as well go eat a cookie. You know, I listen to these other women and I go, well, it's the same thing for me. I just think, oh, it's liquid, or you know what I mean? It's doesn't seem like it's the same thing, but it is. I know it is in my brain.
So the concepts are very similar between eating and drinking. You have an urge. You answer your urge. Well, you can respond to an urge in one of three ways. You either answer it by taking a drink, or you resist the urge by getting angry and thinking, I shouldn't have this urge, or I wish it, you know, this feels terrible. I'll never know how I'm going to get through this. You know, you white knuckle it until you give in, or you allow the urge to be there and you have that conversation in your head, you know, okay, I know I'm going to want to drink tonight because I want to drink every night, but maybe, you know, maybe I'll just sit here and see what it feels like to not drink. You know, how do I feel in my body? Am I agitated? Am I sleepy? Am I jittery? You know, how am I feeling? That's allowing the urge, right?
Okay.
So the similars are, the concepts are very similar. What you have done for all this time is you've decided to reward the urge, right? With a drink.
Yeah.
So it just says, oh, all I have to do is go, yo, you deserve a drink, and she'll have a drink. That's all I have to do.
Yeah. No, it's a habit. Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So your work is to decide how you're going to respond to this thought when it comes in.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Are you going to allow that thought to be there? Are you going to resist the thought and say, oh, there it is again, that stupid thought, I'm going to want a drink? Or are you going to answer it? Do you plan your wine?
Sometimes. Yes.
Oh, no, I would plan it every single night. If you know you're going to have a glass of wine, you need to plan it. As MJ says, MJ did a drinking call, listen to, maybe last month. She said, if the day ends in Y, you have to plan your drinks.
Okay. No, and the thing is, what my problem is, I always think, well, this, I mean, I'm thinking it, when I get to my ideal weight, which is another 20 pounds, I probably can have those drinks, planned drinks, because it's like extra calories that just sit there. And I just don't feel I'll achieve my weight loss goal with drinking the wine. You know,
maybe. You're probably right. It's probably, it's probably that simple. If that's the only place if you're not overeating, if you're just over drinking and you're not losing weight, that could be your level up, right? So it becomes a binary decision. Do I want the drink in the moment or do I want the weight loss long term?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, if you're having, I deserve a glass of wine every night, real strong, singing through your head, you're not going to think about the long term unless you decide to, you know, stick up post-it notes somewhere or put a discovery worksheet on your wine bottle or what it is. You have to remind yourself that there is another option other than I deserve a glass of wine. And then you have to be willing to exercise that option.
Right. I was on a call with MJ, I think, about feelings and stuff. And like, you know, oh, it was modeling. Because I can't say I'm the best at modeling. I'm trying to get better at it. But, you know, it's like being in discomfort is okay. And so I guess that's where I just need to work with that and go, okay, well.
One of my favorite concepts is using discomfort in the intentional model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Because when was the last time, I think this is my last marker. When was the last time a great big huge goal you attained was super easy? You know, something that you were really proud of doing. Okay.
Absolutely.
That stuff is never super easy. It's something that you have to work at and something that you're going to have to fail at. You got to make mistakes at. You know, otherwise there's no pride at the end. There's just like, yeah, well, that was easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I think that's it. I just needed a little kind of, I'll work through those. I really, really, really will. But I thought, you know, I'm going to call. I have never done a coaching call. Mm-hmm. So it helps. So I do have one other question.
Okay.
Because I've reached out, is it getting accountability group? Because I was in an accountability group and then I went to Mexico for 6 months. And so I stepped out of the group and that's been the last 6 months about the last 6 months. So I've written to ask coaches and I didn't think I got an answer. I looked, I didn't think I got an answer. There was other ones about accountability group
And you probably just couldn't find it because as coaches, yeah, it's very busy. You have to make sure your title that you give it is very distinctive. So
that's what I realized. That's what, yeah, I realized.
And so then, what you need to do is go to the website under community, mm-hmm, and click on Find Accountability Partner. And there are
instructions. I did that. And I filled out this little form and it didn't ask much about me. It just sort of said, and so I thought maybe I didn't fill it out right. Because it was just very simple. Like
How long ago did you do it?
Just recently, like 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Okay. So Heidi just hasn't gotten back with you yet. She puts it together. Yeah.
Okay. And then one other question then, sorry, is, mm-hmm, that because Anna mentioned a 55 and older group.
Yeah.
I didn't know where that was. I looked on the main tribe and I put in 55 and older.
Back to the website under community and go to Facebook community.
Okay.
And there's a link there back to Facebook that shows you. That takes you to the over 55 group. 55 plus is what it's called.
Okay. Well, I am going to work on this. Like I said, I've recommitted, which is great. And I just love the program. I mean, mm-hmm, I've been fighting 40 pounds for I don't even know how long.
Yeah. I want you to start by planning your drinks every single day. And if it's not on the plan, it's the thought gets to just sit there.
Okay. Yep. Today is no alcohol. Put it on my action for today. And I'm going to camp. Hopefully we have it in July. And
I hope so too. I miss camp.
Well, thank you so much. I know there's other ladies that would love to be coached. Okay. I really appreciate your time. And like I said, I will check back in with either you or one of the other gals and tell them how I'm working on this issue. So thank
you.
We're
here every Wednesday. Okay. See ya.
Great. Bye.
Jennifer?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's up?
Well, it's funny because this also has to do with comfort and discomfort, but okay, so I was journaling the other day and it was the prompt was, what I wish so much? And my first answer was to be comfortable. And then I realized, and then I started beating myself up because, you know, like obviously you can't get anywhere if you're comfortable. And I was actually kind of upset and angry because, like, this past April, like, I've gone hard. I've done, like, all the things, journaled every day. Mm-hmm. I've done, like, 45 days of straight plans, and, like, I've never done that before, you know. Mm-hmm. Making sure that I'm staying on track, and it's just, like, so this is my thought after a month of doing all this.
Why are you angry?
I don't know. I guess I thought my thoughts would, you know, change.
Oh, just a switch?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's not that I haven't, you know, I've been working on like thought work and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, was frustrating the like of the things that I wish the most, you know, being comfortable is number one. But then what came to mind that day, I guess.
Well, that's probably your primal brain wanting comfort. Because that's what it does. But here's the thing. You have about 60,000 thoughts a day. You're going to love about 30,000 of them. You're not going to love about the other 30,000.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So you don't judge the ones that you don't love. You just let them. I heard Brooke Castillo say this. You know, that's Corinne's mentor. She has the Life Coach School podcast. I heard her say one time when she was talking about thoughts, she said she doesn't wish them away, the ones that she doesn't like. She just puts them on mute. And I thought, well, that's interesting because my husband does that with the TV. You know, he gets tired of commercials, right? Same commercial, the same commercial over and over, right? Right?
Yeah.
You put it on mute. If you mute the TV, you don't hear the commercial. Still gets to be there. Still gets to do its thing. Just when the next thing comes up, the show comes back on, you take the TV off mute.
Yeah.
So when you hear a thought that you're like, oh, that one stinks, just don't let it go all the way through your model. Don't get angry about it and then respond to, I bet you probably had the thought, what was it? I wish I didn't want, what was the thought?
My thought was I wish being comfortable wasn't my, you know, number one wish.
Yeah. I wish being comfortable wasn't my number one wish. Angry, judge myself.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm not comfortable because I'm sitting here in self-judgment land.
Yeah.
Right. What if you just said, I wish that wasn't my, you know, first wish and moved on. What's wrong with wanting to be comfortable?
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking about too, just like hearing other people talk about comfort now, just now, like, you know, I've gotten to the point where like planning is super comfortable, you know, yeah. after like 45 days.
Yeah.
Journaling for a month has made journaling really comfortable. I mean, I can't believe mm-hmm. how much I've journaled in a month.
Mm-hmm. So what's wrong with enjoying the comfort that you have in the journaling and the planning and pushing yourself and something else? What's wrong with having a little comfort along with a little discomfort?
I just view everything, you know, what did you say earlier? That, you know, to accomplish some of the bigger things, you have to allow yourself to be discomfortable. And I'm just, okay. I'm like ready for it, okay. I guess.
So that's the alternate thought. You had this thought about comfort. I wish everything was comfortable. Now you have, you know what? I don't want to always be comfortable.
Yeah.
There's no problem with having any of those thoughts going on in your head. It's just the ones you choose to, you know, tie your whatever to. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a thought like, Corinne talks about standing in the grocery line beside somebody who's got 400 coupons and is writing a check. I just want to punch him in the face, right? You ever had that thought?
Yeah.
Something similar? Did you wish that one went away?
No.
Right?
I ignored it.
You ignored it. You put it on mute. You're like, well, I wish I could, but I'm not going to. So why judge the thought that you know, something that flew by that you wanted to be comfortable?
I don't know. That's interesting though. I think it's funny too, because, you know, I continued writing down things I can control. And one of the consistent thing is how much airtime I give, you know, certain thoughts.
Yeah. Something to ponder, right?
Yeah. I want to move past it.
So
I feel like I'm trying and it's, you know, I get stuck, or I'm allowing myself to get stuck.
Tell me what the thought is again. I want everything to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. When you think that, what feeling comes up?
Anger, frustration.
No, that's when you judge that.
Okay. Acceptance?
Complacent?
Complacent's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And when you feel complacent, what do you do or not do?
I feel like I'm at a standstill. I'm not, you know, I'm not willing to put myself out there.
In action.
Yeah.
Right? Right? And the result is you don't move past comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a very neutral model. Doesn't have a lot of, you know, we'll just put life. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about specifically, but we could put weight loss. We could put anything up there.
Yeah.
So just recognize that when you think that thought, you don't move past comfortable. Okay. So I'm not going to think that thought. I'm going to let that thought, I'm going to choose something else when I hear that one come up.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get angry at the model. You just recognize it for what it does for you. This is called being the watcher. So this is you up here. Tell me your name again. Jennifer, J-Lo, and she's looking at this model. This is the model that I just discovered. I'm not so great about that, so I don't think I'm gonna give that thought a lot of energy next time I hear it. Rather than, oh my gosh, oh no, you know, why get angry? Why not just say, you know what? No, that one's not gonna get much airtime.
I think it was just frustrating to see that after, like, you know, doing a lot of thought work and like working on me in April, because I did like the self-love course and everything. Yeah. I did every day of journaling that day, you know, for that month.
So you judged it a little bit.
Yeah.
And you chose frustration rather than just choosing to think, nah. Maybe you had to work through frustration over that thought in order to get to. It's just not something I'm giving a lot of weight to.
Yeah.
Be careful about judging what you think, because some of those thoughts, I bet this thought, I want everything to be comfortable, is something that you practiced before. Something that, you know, you've probably, you know, who doesn't want that thought, right? Who doesn't want everything to be comfortable all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. But what the problem comes in here is that you judge it as a bad thought when it's just a thought. It could be just a thought. You get to decide. If we put J-Lo thinks this in the C line, you get to decide your thought and your feeling about it. Right?
Yeah.
You can decide, I don't want to think that anymore and be angry. Or you can decide, huh, that's one of that 50% Kathy told me about, that Brooke talks about. That's one I'm, you know, not going to give any airtime to. Your model's that way.
Okay.
Your C line is, I wrote this down.
Well, I think I was trying to make it more complicated than it needed to be, like doing like a thought ladder on it or something of, you know, like thinking I want to be everything to be comfortable, you know, be comfortable in everything that I do is just a thought that I had.
Yeah. Because when you look at it logically right now, it's not really a thought that makes you happy.
No.
So you just, you know, you can, I mean, with your logical brain, you know that. So just decide you're not going to give it any airtime. That's what I'd do.
Okay.
When I think this thought, instead, I'm going to think that. Or I'm going to decide this is not the one. I want a little discomfort in my life because I like the growth.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, those days that I am the most uncomfortable, I see the most growth in myself because it's super easy for me to go to overwhelm.
Yeah.
And I can sit behind this desk and think about, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. I'll never get all this done. I don't even know how to do half of this. And I can run circles in my head about that, not get a thing done. Right?
Yeah.
If I push myself into discomfort, that's comfortable. Overwhelm is comfortable. Right? But if I tell myself this is not the person I want to be today, I'm not going to give any those thoughts any more airtime. What's something I can work on right now? Then I feel better. Just a little shift.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. I think I am trying to make it more complicated than it is. And honestly, judging it, like you say, isn't helping me because there are times you do want to be comfortable. You know, I want to wear comfortable clothes.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to wear clothes that cut them in half, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what you do, is you define for yourself in your journal what you do want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. These are all there. This is a great idea, actually. Get in your journal and write a whole page of things you want to be comfortable and then a whole page of things you don't want to be comfortable.
Okay.
So the next time this thought comes up, you can remind yourself, yeah, it's okay for this page, but for this page, maybe not so much.
That's a great idea.
And then, you know, but get out of the business of judging it as, but, you know, I'll gain all my weight back if everything's comfortable. You know, don't go to disaster world with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look like that's hit you a little bit better.
Well, I was talking with my husband the other night. He just mentioned, you know, from what he knew of me and my family, like there were a lot of times growing up, I was very uncomfortable. And he was mm-hmm. thinking that was probably some of the reasons why that I wanted to be, had this overwhelming, I don't know, not overwhelming, but, you know, need to be comfortable.
Well, and that's, you know, that's okay. And it worked for you back when you were,
yeah,
you know, younger. Right? It's kind of like what I was talking about earlier with the self-sabotage course. You have a story around being comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? That served you once upon a time. Now that you're grown, you don't need that thought anymore because you really want to embrace a little bit of discomfort. That's why you don't judge the thought. You just understand it. You figure out why it's there. You understand it. And you just say, you know what? That's good. You know, it served me for a long time. I don't need it anymore. this is the story I'm going to write about comfort now.
That's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Makes more sense, huh?
Yeah. Instead of beating myself up for having a thought.
Yeah. Seriously. We all got them. Let me tell
you. Yeah.
60,000 of them a day. Half of them are not so great. But you spend a lot of energy judging that half rather than trying to, move on to the other half or just understanding why you have them.
True.
Does that help? Is that better?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Alejandra.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What's up?
So I want to, I don't know. I don't know if that's like profound or something, but sometimes I feel like my weight loss is taking too long.
Okay.
And for example, it's like today that I saw a picture of Adele that she's skiing. I was like, oh my God. Why can I, I start like searching for what does she eat and the diet she follows. And I'm like going, I don't know. And I noticed that when I do that, I start to plan unrealistically, like yeah. Crazy things. Somehow I just want to be vegan and like, go, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to know what can I do with that thought or what can I do with that emotion or...
Okay, so your thought is my weight loss is taking too long, right?
Yes.
And who did you see? Adele?
Adele, yeah.
Adele's weight loss. And you said, my weight loss is taking too long. Of course, you don't know anything about Adele's weight loss, right?
Yeah, no.
Okay. And when you say, my weight loss is taking too long, how do you feel?
I feel frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you said you research diets. You want to restrict. Your plans are not realistic. Right? What do you think the result is?
It takes way longer than...
Yeah, I take too long learning sustainable weight loss.
Yeah.
Right? sometimes I write a model and I get to that action line and I know what the result's going to be. And I'm like,
yeah,
not going to work out well. Right?
I know.
Because these things aren't sustainable. Nothing is sustainable like what you're learning here. And I think you know that.
Yes, I do.
Right? But, you know, it's also possible that if you are baby stepping into the process and doing 1% levels up, that it's not going to fall off you like some, you know, chicken and broccoli, you know, diet that Adele has done or whatever it is that she did do. You know, I don't know what she's done. I know she hasn't been a tribe member. Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure about that. So whatever she's done is not comparable to what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what you did. You compared to her.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So tell me, how long have you been with us? How long have you been?
January.
Okay. And what have you had success at?
I am now drinking every day 100 ounces of water. I've lost 11 pounds. I plan every day. And I'm here getting coached.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just worked a model. Have you worked a model before?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're starting to see your thinking. You're starting to understand your thinking as well, which is key to keeping your weight off. Because as we've talked about this entire call, people have all these thoughts that urge them to eat, right? You have, you know, you have a suggestion, an urge or whatever. It's just a thought in your mind that suggests we should have a snack, right? We should have a hamburger. We should have a whatever. And learning how to recognize those thoughts in relation to how your body feels and whether or not it's hungry is really what's the sustainable weight loss is, right? Along with taking care of yourself with water and sleep.
Okay.
Right? So when you have this thought, my weight loss is taking too long, how do you think you could answer that thought?
I am learning to make my weight loss easy or sustainable.
Yeah. Do you believe that?
Yes. Like I'm, yeah, I'm making my weight loss sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the right place. Mine for a long time. Mine was my thought when I thought this is going awfully slow. My thought was, but I know I'm in the right place. I know I'm doing the right thing this time. There was just no question because Corinne makes so much sense. I mean, it's like every time she gets on a live, she's still talking to me. You know?
Yes.
Every time she does a course, this self-sabotage course has been incredible. This is actually a self-sabotaging thought, if you think about it, right?
Yes, I just printed my workbook, so I am taking it. Yes, because, yeah, I think it, I mean, and I see all of you guys, like, that have had success, and I'm like, yeah, that's, I'm, like you said, I'm in the right place. You know, I've never had the support. This, I'm not exactly like focusing on the food. Right. I'm focusing on my mind. Mm-hmm. And that's, I can take this everywhere I go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Feel better?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, Anthea, am I saying that right? A-N-T-H-E-A. Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Awesome. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
What's up?
So I was doing, well, first I have been in the program since last April, and I did my very first monthly goals this time, this month. So that gives you an idea of how closely I followed the program. And so I got to the section about what reward I wanted to set for myself. And I got really stuck. I mean, it was obvious that food was not going to be the reward. And so then I was like, oh, I've been looking at this duvet that I want to get. So maybe I should make that my reward. And then I was like, no, I'm going to buy the duvet anyway. Like, I know I'm going to do that. And I'm not super motivated to buy clothes right now. And I just thought I would love some help understanding kind of what the intent of that is. And
some people are very reward driven and some people are not. So a reward can be something you buy yourself. A reward can be as simple as I'm going to journal about what an amazing month I had. That'll be my reward. You know, it can be, I would love for everybody in the chat to give us an example of different rewards that they use. I don't generally buy myself something for a reward because, like you, if it's something I really want, I'm going to, somebody says new clothes, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to buy it, or I'm going to ask for it for Mother's Day or Christmas or something like that. But a reward to me for weight loss or for showing up for myself is a very personal thing. I picked buying fancy sparkling water. Oh, that's, you know, that's, you know, whatever lights you up, whatever makes you smile. Maybe it's a new Netflix series or a book that you've been wanting, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's very personal about what it is you want to work toward. You know, what would make doing this work worth it for you?
Yeah, I think that combination of what you said possibly about journaling and then thinking about a book or Netflix, like I don't watch much TV. I'm a coaching junkie, so I spend all of my time, you know, consuming all the awesome courses and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think like time for myself, maybe that I put like a half day on the calendar or something to do one of those things that I love.
Mm-hmm. I used to, for my birthday every year, I would make it Kathy Day. And the kids would go off to school, the husband would go off to work, and I would have the entire day to myself. That was like super duper reward. That was the biggest gift I could ever give myself, was a day, an unencumbered day that I only did what I wanted to do.
I love that.
Yeah. So that makes you smile. Maybe that's your reward. And maybe it's not a whole day. Maybe it's an hour. Maybe it's 15 minutes, whatever it is that you need, that you can plan for. That to me, that's something very personal to me that I love, that does it for me.
Yeah, I think that is probably worth more to me than a thing. I mean, not because I don't like things too, but when I really want them, I take care of that probably.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
That helps.
Okay. So I also this month have been making plans diligently. Since maybe 3 weeks ago, I started working with an accountability group, and that has been awesome. But I have not lost any weight during that time. So I'm watching, writing it all down. I think I'm wanting my plans to be better than I actually want to eat. So I think the culprit is I'm not consistently making realistic plans. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I would love some help on that.
Give me an example. Yeah, I don't really understand. You want your plans to be better than they actually are. What does that mean?
Oh, like I don't want to put dessert on my plan because I want to not want it. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just not put it there, and then I'll have it. I'm finding there's a lot of everybody's home. My daughter's baking. We're doing s'mores in the backyard. And I was in such a easy routine for the last several months where I intermittent fasted and I just ate lunch and dinner. And at dinner, I packed up my lunch for the next day. And that was all I ate when I was at work. And I was totally fine with that. My body felt super adapted to that. And I really didn't have any, it was rare cravings for the other things. And so now that I've kind of jumped back into this program, I'm like, oh, but I'm not a person who needs to plan my snacks and my desserts, which now I'm like, that's a thought that maybe is not true. I see it. But that was how I was operating. I was feeling like I was a person who didn't need that stuff. And now I'm choosing to have it.
I'm, oh, well, we're doing the bonfire in the backyard and I want to have s'mores. I want to be part of it. I'm having FOMO and things that just weren't coming up before. And
why weren't they coming up before? Why weren't they coming up before?
Because my thinking was different. Because I didn't feel like I had FOMO. I didn't, it was totally fine for other people in my family or whoever else to eat all the things.
So why do you think you have the FOMO now? Well, let's ask this question then. Do you think you just switched over to no FOMO before, or did it take you a little bit to work into that? So FOMO is fear of missing out. I had to ask the same question not too long ago. Fear of missing out. So when you first joined a year ago and you worked your way into having, you know, the plans that you had and eating the way you did, did you just like flip a switch and you were there, or did you have to work through
a little bit? Yeah, I definitely had to work through it
a little bit. Do a little thought work around the FOMO and around the s'mores and around the baked goods and all that kind of stuff. That's all you have to do again.
Right.
If you have journals from back then, I'd read them. If you don't, then I just start journaling about it. Why do I have FOMO? What is I really want? What am I really hungry for? It's my favorite question. When I have a suggestion, an urge to eat, I ask myself, what am I really hungry for right now? And when your family's out there cooking s'mores, I bet you're not really hungry for the s'more. You're really hungry for their companionship. I mean, sure, you want a s'more. Who doesn't, right? But you're not going to sit in the house so you don't have one. Are you?
Right. No.
Missing out on being with them.
Yeah, I think it always comes back to, I've done tons of thought work, and it always comes back to, you know, I think I should be further along, or any of the shoulds. I think I should be past this. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I'm in that place and I'm not accepting where I am, then of course that gives me trouble.
That's called self-judgment, right? Yeah. So instead of being uncomfortable sitting outside around the fire, not having a s'more, you're saying you're giving yourself the beat down and having a s'more. So you're swapping a little discomfort for self-judgment and overeating.
Yeah. Okay. Can we stop there? So I'm thinking that I'm giving myself a reward or giving myself a something that I want. And you're saying I'm giving myself the self-judgment, which.
Well, you just said I should be further along.
Yeah.
That's self-judgment.
Right. So in the moment, when I'm...
darn damn shoulds. They get you every time.
Yeah. And I mean, I can totally see it once I start to write about it, but it's like, you know, in the moment, it's like, well, forget that. I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where you can practice ahead of time. How am I going to handle this tonight? You know, you can visualize, you can think about it, you can plan about it. You can put it on the plane and eat it and know that, you know, s'mores are great. Family companionship's great. You know, losing weight's great too. I'm going to pick the s'more tonight. You know, I mean, that's kind of, you just have to open that conversation with yourself, but you have to do it from a place that's really binary, fix and sneeze. That's really, you know, more of not being an emotional place, right? It's this or it's that. Oh, okay. Well, I'll have the s'more tonight, but tomorrow I'm, you know, maybe your goal is to have dessert 3 days a week this week. Any 3 days. I'll have it 3 days this week. When the 3 days are up, it'll be next week's 3 days. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can go about looking at it. Just don't do it from a place of self-judgment, because that's just self-judging. Judging yourself is just the layer of tar on top of the real issue that you need to get to, and that's whether or not to eat, whether or not you want to lean into the companionship rather than the food.
Well, and I think I've also noticed some fear about having the treats because I'm used to just not having it. And then I felt really in control. And so I think maybe I heard it in the self-sabotage class. I'm sure I've heard Corinne talk about it many times, but it's like getting to the place where I don't fear having it, that yeah. I can, because I'll put it on my plan, but then I don't have one s'more, I have three s'mores. Mm-hmm. And I feel like any sort of 2-to-2 discussion is irrelevant when I'm having a dessert. Like it's not, at that point, I'm not eating for fuel and to, I don't know. I can't kind of reconcile how to do it in balance.
So I think this is where Corinne would tell you to plan realistically. Because you have to practice following your plan first. Okay? So if you know it's s'mores night and you put one on there, that's not realistic. If you're going to have s'mores, you're going to have three or four or whatever. Right?
Right. Okay.
So you have to practice following the plan first. And you have to practice planning so that you can follow the plan.
And I have to practice it all over again, even though like for months and months and months, I was like, I'm totally a person who follows my plan. No drama.
So why is that a problem that you have to practice it all over again? You already know how to do it.
Oh, because I had this thought that I was done with this, that I had it figured out. Mm-hmm. But
why maybe is it a problem that you
I'm still
to...
working on it?
Yeah. What if I were to tell you that for the next 50 years, you're going to work on this and it's okay because you know how to do it. I mean, seriously, I'm 5 years in. Okay. I still have to check myself sometimes. The other night, a storm's coming through Nashville. My son, Greg, the younger one, just the one without all the kids, calls and he says, Grace, his wife, is terrified of storms. Can we come to your house so she can go to the basement if she needs to? I'm like, sure. What does Grace walk in with? A plate of hot chocolate chip cookies. Okay. In the moment, I'm like, oh, yes, cookies, baked goods. That's my thing. Cookies. And I ate them off plan. Discovery worksheet, overeat, all the things. Right. I, you know, processed it. I didn't want to be missing out of the warm chocolate chip cookies. It's okay. It's just... You know, it's a mistake or an overeat or an off-plan eat or whatever you want to call it. And it's something that's going to come up sometimes. It was a conscious choice. It was a decision I made. Nobody held me down and crammed warm chocolate chip cookies in my mouth.
Yeah, I know that writing about it, I mean, taking that reflection time is totally it. Like this week I put ice cream on my plan, but I put one small scoop and I had more than that. And I was like, in my head, I did it all wrong. It was a totally bad day because I overate. And then when I actually did my reflection at the end of the day, I was like, gosh, I actually followed all of my plan until it got to the amount of that. Mm-hmm. And I got my more than 10,000 steps and I got my water in and I slept. And I was like, I'm actually not so far off.
Right, right. So why did you have the extra ice cream?
I guess in that moment, I was telling myself, as long as I'm here, I want to have as much as I want.
Yeah.
I don't want
to. So you write that thought down. I might as well have as much as I want because I'm having ice cream. Might as well have as much as I want. Write that thought down. You don't judge it. And you don't judge yourself for having it. You just put that one on the what to watch for list. Because you know when that thought comes in, you're going to have a feeling of, I don't know, excited, urgent, and you're going to eat.
Yeah.
So thoughts to watch. As long as I'm here, right? That should send up like fireworks in your brain to say, hold on, this is danger zone. Right. This is one we think and we overeat, and that's okay. Because it's one of the 60,000 every day.
Yeah.
Right? You just don't judge it. You just know it's going to be there. And you decide in the moment whether or not to react. Some days you're going to be happy with the decision. Some days you're not. But that doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't mean you're going to lose weight any faster or slower. It just means that you're watching how you're thinking. And that's what we want from you. We want you to watch how you're thinking without judging it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. One more. Melissa. Let's see what you got. There you are. Hello, I know you. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's been a while.
I know. How have you been doing?
Pretty good. Pretty
yeah? good. Kids are good?
Do what?
Kids are good?
They are. Yeah, thankfully everybody's been healthy and we've been able to spend this whole time at home and not in a hospital, thankfully.
That's really good news.
Yeah, it's been super good news. Yeah. So I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I just realized through doing some thought work and some downloads over the last, oh, I just realized I've got a pile of laundry back there.
It's okay. Nobody's looking at your laundry.
My brain really struggles just from doing, from that discovery worksheets, really. Mm-hmm. I realized that my brain really struggles with solving for, I don't know. And I've been looking for all the things that I use food to solve for and just saying, okay, food's not a counselor. Food's not mm-hmm. a coach. Food's not all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I use food many times to solve for, I don't know. And of course it doesn't. And it can be anything from like a huge unknown to a small unknown. Never knows the laundry. Oh, thank you. and so I'm looking for thoughts to replace the I don't know. Like I've come to the point where I see the thought happen. Like, and sometimes I've even caught myself saying it out loud. Like I'll just be thinking about something and I'll just be like, I just don't know.
So is it usually something you're thinking about that's happening now or something in the future?
Well, maybe like a situation right now mm-hmm. and how it's going to turn out or how it's going to end or how, okay. you know, what's going to.
So you probably don't know.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so like that, I realized that because I don't know, I can't really do anything about it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, chocolate chips are great for that, right?
Are they?
No.
So, I'm serious. We just recorded a podcast and I just proofread Corinne's email that's going to go out about it called a What If Sandwich. It's If You Knew You Could Lose Weight, I think is the title of the podcast, but she talks about the What If Sandwich. And that's essentially what you're doing, right? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? And what if, and what if, and I don't know, and what if, and I don't know, and what if, right?
Yeah. Or even like if I just can't figure it out, like say we've got, you know, there may be a situation with one of the kids and I don't know, without, you know, going into like big details about mm-hmm. Just saying, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, he could do this or he could do this. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that, like just totally stresses me. And I finally realized that my brain has a big problem with, I don't know, like it wants.
Well, it's not a problem. You've decided it's a problem. Your brain just wants, we are problem solvers by nature. So you have this, you want to solve a problem. You want to know what the path is. What you have a problem with is uncertainty.
Okay.
You don't like the uncertainty of the situation. You don't like not knowing mm-hmm. what the future is going to hold. Right? How normal is that?
Normal.
Like pretty normal, right?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So you don't know what the future is going to hold. You don't know how things are going to turn out. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, really. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's true. And in most situations, but I know that I am, I'm kind of a strategic thinker, mm-hmm. and, so if I see a problem coming, or if I mm-hmm. if we have something in front of us, like I'm a problem solver, mm-hmm. and so I have plan A, B, C, and D, mm-hmm. how we're going to solve that problem. And if this happens, then we'll do this. And if this happens, then we'll do this. And I have a plan, and that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And that's the space I love to live in. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are always things that are unpredictable, but I feel like I have a good plan for most anything. But yeah. when I come up against things where, like, I can't even fathom how we're going to deal with that, or what's going to happen here, or what's going to happen there, then I almost just get stuck in it.
Why aren't you telling yourself, I'm a strategic thinker, I'll figure it out? Look at all the things I've figured out right, you know, up to now.
That's a great thought. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Like, well, what can I, in the moment, instead of, and I'm not a panicker, so I just kind of take it away. And normally I deal with it like at bedtime by not sleeping, and you know, I'll stress and worry about it and just go in the cycle of, I don't know.
You're hiding your panic in the chocolate chips.
It's deep down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you put in your panic. Your okay. uncertainty is in the chocolate chips. I don't know whenever we're taught as coaches that whenever we ask a question, and the client says, I don't know, we have to tell them to guess. We tell them to guess because it puts your brain to work on finding a solution, on finding a, yeah, okay, it's okay to be wrong here, but if you had to guess, what would the answer be? And you can always come up with something, right? So let's play, okay?
Okay.
If you had to guess, which kid's going to get up first tomorrow?
Oh. I know that.
Okay.
Phoebe.
100%? 100% of the time Phoebe gets up first?
I can't think of a time when anybody else is talking up first. But she's
so my example's not great.
My tiny little, right. you know, really super intense, you know, mm-hmm. agile one. But okay, so, but there are unpredictable days. Mm-hmm. You know what? No, your example was genius. Because
Oh.
I just thought about that. Like today, my eldest, the complete other end of the spectrum, did get up first. Mm-hmm. He came and said hello where I was journaling. And I gave him the look of, you see, the coffee's only half gone and I have a pen in my hand. Return to your bed.
Right?
So yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
What would I do if she wasn't the one who woke up first and he woke up first? I would scowl at him and, yeah. you know.
Okay. So the point is, when you find yourself saying, I don't know, either say, I don't know blocks the wisdom, the strategic planning part of me that knows how to figure this out, or mm-hmm. say, all right, if I had to guess, how would that work out? And put your brain to work on, you know, in that direction, rather than spinning out and I don't knows.
Okay.
Does that help?
Strategic thinker. And out. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, I was stuck in the I don't know, in the I don't know, and had to get past that.
Yeah. And that just blocks your wisdom. And you're full of it. You're full of wisdom and strategic planning and figuring things out. You have to be on your, with the kids, on the, you're on your toes all the time, taking care of those kids.
Okay. So second question. Mm-hmm. So I also realized that in visualizing and just kind of seeing the future, mm-hmm. that I can very easily follow negative paths in my brain, mm-hmm. all the way to the point of just kind of zoning out and seeing those things and feeling the emotions and mm-hmm. it being very vivid, you know, with negative things. But I really struggle with like visualizing, okay, this is the future I want. This mm-hmm. is, or even just for today, like this is how I want today to happen. Mm-hmm. Now let me sit here for a minute and just really see that and just visualize that. And I've just been searching while I was waiting through some of the other calls in the on the website, and I saw like day 59 of the first 60 days where Corinne did the vision board and all of that. And I was skipping through some of that. And she was just talking about how you really need, how would you feel? How would you think? How would you act? And I struggle with that. Like, I can do it in an instant. It's almost like a well-carved out path to the negative. Mm-hmm. You know, something horrible was going to happen and be able to imagine that. Almost like when you're a little kid and you're like, oh, I bet I could make myself cry. Let me think of something horrible.
Yeah. You know? So you're normal. Okay. Your primal brain is the one that solves the problems in a real quick way. It's the one where, you know, it realizes the tigers are chasing you. You know, it's that one that's very reactive, and it's 95% of your thinking. Okay. If you get a chance to do the self-sabotage course, there's a little bit of talk about it.
I have it printed.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of talk about how it takes a lot of effort to work the conscious part of your brain. All right. And that's the one that's planning your future. That's the one that you have to activate to plan your future. You have to activate that conscious part of your brain to think about your future self and to dream and to plan. Your primal brain, that back part, is all the time trying to keep you safe. And so it's dredging up all the problems. It's making all the plans. It's doing all the, you know, it's doing all the reacting that you're doing all day long. Okay. It's keeping you safe. It's keeping the tigers from eating you and eating the kids. Right.
Right.
So
is there a,
like, that's, it's like just what you're used to
for kind of acting or activating that or kind of getting there to where, I mean,
it just takes practice. Think about it this way. Think about a big sand hill and you put a marble at the top. You have a well-worn path down one side, right? That's the one that's reacting to whatever's going on that day. You want to create a new path, all right? So you have to kind of push the marble down another side of the hill where it's got a water slide down the negative path. It's like straight on down. You have to help create the new path. Okay, so you have to push it a little bit. You have to work it a little bit. You have to sit there with it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to intentionally create time to think about your future, to think about positive things. Sometimes it takes time to dredge them up. That's why we tell you all the time, if you have something that goes great in your day, journal about it. Teach your brain that you want to think about the positive things as well. Because as problem solvers, we're always going to go toward, what's the next problem to solve? Where's the next tiger? I think Corinne talks about pumas in one of the podcasts that we just did. I think it was the What If Sandwiches, pumas.
Is that one released yet?
No, but it's coming. It's either the two I read today are Worry 2.0 and the What If Sandwich. So either one of those will work for you.
I think I need them both.
They're coming pretty soon.
Okay. Can I ask you one more question?
Yes.
Because you absolutely hit on it. Okay. So when you were talking about my kids waking up in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I was having trouble with a model this morning because I had the thought, I forgot something in my room. I get up first thing in the morning, I get very, very carefully and very quietly so that I don't wake Phoebe, mm-hmm. you know, creep. And I forgot something in my bedroom. And so I had to come back in here and I heard her stir. And the thought that popped into my head was, oh, if she wakes up, my time is gone. Mm-hmm. This is over. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my brain even went crazy. It's like, why do I even bother to get up? Why do I even bother to get up this early? Mm-hmm. Because when I get up, it wakes her up, and then my time is gone, and we're just starting the day earlier. And, I mean, you see the wheels turning. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, of course, I'm beating myself up and judging myself and kicking myself because then I'm switching gears and going, nobody ever thought she would ever be able to get up. Nobody ever thought she would be able to speak and ask mm-hmm. for the things that she mm-hmm. wants and does the thing. Nobody ever thought that she would be able to be as intense as she is. And look at you, you're so ungrateful and all of that. But I modeled it. I mean, I saw the thought in my head and I thought, it's a horrible thought. Why are you thinking that? Okay, so let me model this. And I couldn't find a replacement thought for, if she wakes up, my time is over.
What if you just ladder into it then and say, sometimes I think if she wakes up, my time is over.
Okay.
Okay.
And I can go there, but what's the next?
Work on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Model that one. and live there until you can find the next one. Okay. You have to take the judgment out of it. You're human. You're human. 50% positive, 50% negative. That's just the human experience. You're going to have thoughts that come up like that. Everybody does. Everybody has their own, set of thoughts that pop in that they're not real happy with, that, you know, they know are not going to create a great result for them. But what you did was you had the thought, you didn't let go all the way to the result line, but you had the thought, then you judged it. Okay. Instead of saying, yeah, that's not real nice. What can I think instead?
Yeah. You said something to somebody earlier. Mm-hmm. Why not just take that thought and look at it and think, yeah, I'm not going to give that one, would you say, a lot of airtime?
A lot of airtime. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just ladder.
Sometimes I think that, and that's, you know, I'm not proud of it, but it's okay. I understand it. How about that? I understand why I think that sometimes.
Okay.
Give yourself a little grace around having some negative thoughts sometimes.
Okay.
We all do.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It does. All right. I'm good. I won't take any more of your time. Thank you, Ms. Kathy. Okay. It's great to see all you. Right.
Good to see you. Take care. All right. Let's see what these questions are, and then I'm going to go fix some dinner. What do you do if you don't meet your monthly goal? Do you change it? Oh, goodness. Anonymous attendee, that's a great question. I want you to go to the website and look for the call that Corinne did with John Acuff, J-O-N-A-C-U-F-F. He wrote the book Finish, which is probably one of my favorite self-development books ever. It's on perfectionism, and it's a lot about goal setting. So what he would tell you is you either change the goal or you extend the time period. But you give yourself the grace to know that it's okay that you have to do that. A goal is just a goal. The whole success in your goal, in reaching your goal, is not whether or not you reach it. It's the work you do to get toward it. I asked somebody one time who was asking me the same question. If your goal was to lose 100 pounds and you only lost 95, would that be a failure? The answer is no, right? It's all the work that you do in order to reach the goal. That's where you find your success. Okay. All right, you guys, it was fun. Glad to be back. Glad to be back on office hours. And I will see you all soon. Take care. Bye.